Like always, I'd like to thank all you guys for praying for us. Mayor, we certainly appreciate all of you. Love all of you, and we are very thankful for the Lord keeping us in happiness. And we're going to try to sing "It Is Well With My Soul."
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll,
amen.
Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. Trials should come.
Right.
Let this best assurance control, that Christ have regarded my helpless estate, and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well with my soul. My sins, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sins not in part,
yeah,
but the whole.
Amen.
Is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. My soul, it is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sighed, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well. My soul, it is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. But what is to thee? For thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal.
Is our goal.
The shout of my soul.
With my soul,
it is well with my soul.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a clap of praise once again. Amen. It is well with my soul. Brother Daugherty asked me a couple of weeks ago. He said, Brother Luis, I'm ready to start singing specials again. I said, you come on up, bro. So, we really enjoyed that, Sister Regina, Sister Trudy, Sister Frida. You backed them up very well. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. But Michael, we're going to get you next time since we're running a little late. So let's take up our offering this afternoon. Michael, you want to help us? Amen. Let's just sing key of G, keep on the firing line. Why don't we just stand to our feet? If you're ready for the word, we'll have Brother Wade come out on this song. Keep on the firing line, page 315. Oh, if you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Oh, keep on firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die of fighting, it is no disgrace. A coward in the service, he will find no place. So keep on the firing line. Well, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. Oh, God will only use a soldier he can trust. So keep on the firing line. If you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must. Oh, keep on the firing line. Life is but to labor for the master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Great you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. Well, you must fight. Be brave against all evil. Never, never run, nor even lag behind. If you would win for God in the right, just keep on the firing line. When we get to heaven, oh, when we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line. Oh, I will praise the Savior for the call we ask. So keep on the firing line. Oh, when we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight. Be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. Oh, if you would win for God and the right, just keep on. Why don't we hear the instruments play? Clap your hands. Once again, you must fight. Oh, you must fight. Be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. Oh, if you would win for God and the right, just keep on the fiery line. You must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the fiery line. And be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the fiery line.
Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise.
Hallelujah.
Keep on the fiery line. We're not in a picnic. We're in a battle.
Amen.
And we read the book. And we win. You know, you go to battle sometimes, you don't know if you're going to win or not. Just read the Bible. We win. Devil loses. Every time. It's kind of like the old tortoise and hare book, you know. You read the tortoise and the hare book, guess who wins every time? The tortoise. Every time. You keep reading that book, you keep reading it over and over, and guess what? Tortoise wins the race. Every time. Every time, doesn't change. God doesn't change. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you with us today. Good singing. Brother Darty. Why'd you leave? Singing, I mean. What'd you quit singing for? Stop that. You need to be singing. If you don't sing for us, sing for the Lord. Okay? But if you sing it for us, then you sing it to the Lord, so that's okay. But good job, girls and gentlemen. That was really good. We appreciate that. It's one of my most favorite songs. Reason it is if it's not well with your soul today, then you got a problem. But that man that went through that song, you ought to read it. If he can stand in his day and lose his family, under Dwight Moody's ministry, which is good, but not the ministry like we got. The faith that we got, but the faith he had, he said, though Satan should buffet. We think we have trials. He lost his whole family, all but his wife. Lost his whole family. Lost a lot of money in Chicago. Chicago Fire, I think he went bankrupt. Very wealthy man, Horatio Spafford was. But can you sit in your study and say, it is well with my soul? It's well. All is well. I love that song, All Is Well. We've heard this message, Shalom, and all is well. There is a place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. Rest, little bride, rest, for all is well. Amen. By way of announcement, remember Brother Luis will be speaking for us Wednesday night. Brother Bob is still at Brother Richard Wilson's. Just remember them. After we have communion and foot washing this afternoon, we'll meet downstairs in the middle room. Those of you that are going to Ohio, we need to just get some pencil sharpening and what we need to bring and what time and all that. We need to just get it together. All right. And also remember that Brother Keith Reed will be here with us on the 7th. We are going to the camp meeting. If anybody would like to go, our car is full. We don't have the band anymore, but if you'd like to go, we're going on Thursday and come back on Friday. We always like to support Brother Joe Green and his efforts. And they're in Rutherfordton, North Carolina. So just remember that in your prayers. Listen to this. The fundamental foundations of faith. Listen, in 1955, the prophet of God says, so I believe this with all my heart. I believe that we're nearing the age that when people are going to recognize these things, that we've had so much vain philosophy and so forth, and teachings that ought not to be. Wow, this is 1955. Until it has set the human mind to a revolution of thinking on matters of this and that and taking away from the Word of God. Listen to this. As I've said, faith doesn't come by fasting. Everybody believe Brother Brown was a prophet, right? All right, got the right crowd. Faith doesn't come by praying, reading a book. All of that's good. Fasting, praying, and reading a book. But faith comes by a settled something that's in the human heart. Amen. That tells you, just as sure as you come to this church tonight, when you come home, you told your wife that you'd be home after the service was over. You do that unconsciously. You must go out and get in your car and go home. Now, you could not do it unless you have faith. You could do it. Look how simple that is. You'd never move from where you're sitting if you didn't have faith that you could raise up. But you've done it so much, and you just become so accustomed to those laws till it's a natural thing. Faith is a natural thing. If you're a believer today, your faith should be as common and natural as you getting in the car and turning the key and going to the house. That's what the prophet said. Fasting's good. Praying's good. And reading a book's good. But faith comes from a settled something that's in the human heart. The soul. Not this thing. The soul. In your soul. That's why it is well. If it's not well with your soul today, guess what? It's all unsettled, everything. You got turmoil, you got strife, you got all the... We got enough of that in the world. But there's a settled peace that a Christian should have, as Brother Spafford, when he went across the river, went across the ocean, and the captain said, right here is where your daughters met their death. And that's when he penned, though trials will come, rest assurance is in control. It is well. It is well with my soul. We think we have problems. Nah, you ain't had problems. Not when you've lost half of your family. Job had a problem. Job lost everything he had in just a few days. But you know what he said? I know my Redeemer liveth. So let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. Thank you for the wonderful music, songs, the worship, Father, and we've done all those things, and today, Lord, we're going to hear from you just for a moment, Lord. Then we're going to institute communion and foot washing, Lord. And we pray that you would be in all that you would be in our service today, Lord, as an active participant. Lord, that you would go deep down into the heart and that you would strike the heart of man, Lord, and change us, Lord. We are coming to a body change, but we have to be changed in our soul first. There has to be a longing and a desire for the Word of God before you can even help us. And Lord, I pray that today that we will desire you, not worry about this one or that one or the other, or who's looking at me and who don't care about me and who's not watching and who's watching and who's sitting beside me and who's not coming and who's coming and what kind of clothes they got on. And no. He said, it is well with my soul. I don't know about somebody else's, but is he well with your soul tonight? That's the question you need to ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You know, I was thinking this right here. You see the statue of a perfect man? That was in the flesh of God. Hello, somebody. The Son of Man is the one that displayed those. So the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then Brother Brown says, as we grow into the stature of perfect man, guess what? We are the Word made flesh. All right, the Son of Man in the end time and the bride. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We'll try to get to that this afternoon. That ye may prove, now not God, but you, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You know, the prophet of God told us that we're supposed to reverence the office, right? But we're no more than just servants. We got to understand that if you have an office in this church, you're a servant. You're not some hierarchy. You're not some highfalutin somebody. We actually are servants to you. What you desire today, you're going to pull out of a servant. what you desire. Your soul is going to pull the spirit that I was talking about, those spirits. We can either get rid of the bad ones and then entertain the good ones. The Bible says sometimes we entertain what? Angels, unaware. Why? Because we can't see any other dimension, but we can see the effects of what's going on by what you think, by what you do. And that's what we're going to talk about, confession and possession. According as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. So there is a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion or portion. In other words, the proportion of faith you've been given. Amen. Because you're not given, I'm not giving Brother Daugherty's portion. He's given his portion. He has a portion of God that he's got to fulfill that I can't fulfill. Amen. Brother Branham said, when the bride realizes who she is and what she's doing here, get out of Ephraim's cornfield. If you're not supposed to raise corn, get over in your wheat field. Stay out of Ephraim's cornfield. Ephraim grows corn. We need to get over here and grow our wheat if that's what we're supposed to do. Instead of everybody wanting to be preachers and everybody wanting to be this and everybody wanting to be that. Just get in your job. Just get in your office and stay there. That's what God wants. So you may be seated. The Lord has blessing to the reading of the word. And we're going to go through this pretty quick. We've already been through the stages. This morning, as I keep bringing this back and keep going over and over again, it seems like there's more people getting more every time that we bring in justification and sanctification and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's little points or little things that you didn't cover before that you're covering now. So I love God because he knows we're human beings. We're only going to get so much. We're only going to get so much of the Word of God, and then the rest of it's going to fade away. Or like we said before, we read a really good book. Well, I read that book, you know, Children Are Like Wet Cement. Well, I can kind of paraphrase it, but I can't read it to you. Not from my, I don't have a photographic memory. Neither do most of you have one either. So we have to be told. We have to be preached to. We have to be shepherded. We have to have the shepherd. Listen, if a shepherd will get his sheep right to start with when they're little, he's got a lot less problem with it when they get bigger. So we thank God we had a good shepherd. Still got a good shepherd. His hook was soft. Mine may not be. But if you've known how to take the good one, maybe you can deal with me for a little while. But we good foundation, folks. Good foundation. You hear what Brother Brown said? Remember, a long time ago, I told you, I said, Brother Brown said that teaching settles a church. Right. Teaching. If you'll take that teaching right, it will. You say, well, we'll just sit there and listen and we're dry. No. There can be some amening and some shouting. And every once in a while, we get happy and we go to screaming every once in a while. But you know what? It's a deep, settled feeling in your soul. In your soul. Your soul's either faith or doubt. There's no emotion. It's faith or doubt. The emotion is in the memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. The spirit realm is where your emotion comes from. And that emotion, though, is driven by what's inside. That's why that Horatio Spafford, he could, out of his, now his humanity, he was a broken man. His spirit was broke. Lost all of his income. He was an insurance agent or something, I think it was, or something, or an investment in Chicago. Lost all that. Lost his family. Inside, he probably was a broken man. But way down deep inside, I believe he had a new birth for his time. He didn't know a prophet. He come under Dwight Moody's message, which is a reformer, not a restorer like we got now. The prophet brought to restore all things. Dwight Moody was under Reformation, which is fine. And then he will be, we'll see him again. And we'll talk to him, and he'll probably say, I don't know how I wrote that song. And the condition I was in, I don't know. He said, but something rose up that I don't even know why I did it. Well, we do, because he wrote one of the most beautiful songs that's ever been sung. He said, I don't know why. You know why? It was for us. It was the pull that we had in this end time to say it is well with my soul. And then we talked this morning about sanctification, how that the unclean spirit goes out, walks in dry places. We've been through that. And remember, I want you to understand about that new spirit. That new spirit is something that people are going to have to be able to see. You can't just say, I got a new spirit. No, when you get a new spirit, look, that spirit isn't God's spirit. We know that. That's your spirit. But what he's doing, he's softening up your spirit so that he can give you the Holy Spirit. Now, if you'll come in those three stages, you're fine. But if you stop at number two, you're not. If you stop at sanctification, think, well, I've got this great, and most people, I'm sorry, but most people, that's what you see. Because somewhere down the line, they're going to fall off. Because they have nothing to hold them. They don't have a tie post. They think they might have one, but they don't have a tie post. And I'm sorry, but no, and not everybody's going to make it. But I'm going to preach like everybody's going to make it. Amen? Because it's not me to divide y'all up. It's God knows your heart. And knowing your heart, he knows what you're going to do. But we'll get to it in a minute because it's your confession. If you confess you can't be healed, you know what? There's no way you could pour 55 gallons of Jesus' own blood on top of your head and you will not get healed. You've got to confess, as Sister Frieda did this morning, and I've done in the past, and you probably should practice it a little bit more. To confess your faults, I'll read it in the Bible, one to the other. We don't have to air our dirty laundry, but you need to confess privately if you need to confess to somebody or confess with a mediator, whichever one you want to do. But we need to get things out of the way. We're not going to move as a church without getting things out of the way. Amen? So the baptism of the Holy Ghost is what? Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth, as we were talking about this morning, obeying the truth, what? Through the Spirit. You cannot have the truth without having the Spirit of God. Pilate said, what is truth? Well, truth was standing in front of him. But he rejected him. Right? So what is truth? Truth is the man that was standing in front of him. Truth is the Son of Man ministering in the end time. To me, that is the truth. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. I'm just backgrounding just for a minute because I need to get through over to where I want to go. Now, we know we're predestinated. Do you really believe that you're predestinated? I mean, you got to really believe that God put you in this hour for a reason. Either to what? Manifest the devil or to manifest God. No tweeners. Remember the man sitting on the fence? The devil walks up and says, hey, buddy, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm on the fence. I don't know if I want to, you know, go over here in God's Eden or Satan's Eden. Satan said, well, that's fine. So that's okay. You can stay sitting there all you want to. He said, I'm on that fence. I don't like fence sitters. God don't like fence sitters. Because you know what? You can fall over to one side. But if you're far away from that fence, you're always going to, if you fall, you're still on God's ground. If you fall off of a fence, you might fall over on the devil's side. But if you'll get far enough away from that fence, I don't know why people want to play around the edge of the message. I don't know why people want to play around the edge of Christianity. Come to church when you want to. Yeah, and guess what? You're going to walk in this church one day and ain't going to be nobody here. And that little voice is going to say, I told you. And you never paid any attention. I'm sorry, that's the Bible. Like I said this morning, that's not my idea, that's the Bible. The Bible tells us, and the prophet of God never in his life ever said, sit at home. He said, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you can't wait for them to... How many of you can not... I can't wait till we get to Wednesday service. I'd like to have service every night. I said, what did I tell y'all last night? I said, last night I would love, if I could afford it, to quit my job and just for 7 days in a row, just teach this message. But not feasible because air conditioner still got to run. We need gas in the car. And it's called life. But you know what? God will make a way where we can do... Because some of the people had asked about doing a series on Message 101, just kind of drop down and why we have a message and why we believe that God sent a prophet. And it's not just what we believe. We need to do it in Scripture. Because it's all scriptural. It's not something, I understand this because it's the devil. The devil can't stand it. So he puts all these things in there. Well, he was wrong here and he was this, that, and he was this, that, and the other. I really don't care. He took me to God. And listen, he made it more simple for me to have faith because you go talk to somebody out in the world and you ask them what's going to happen in the next 5 years. You ask 10 people, you'll get 11 answers. Kind of like they said about beekeepers. If you take put 10 beekeepers in a room and ask them one question, you're going to get 11 answers. It's because there's opinions. The Baptist said, shake hands, and the Methodist said, we'll sprinkle you. The Presbyterian said, well, if you get caught in the liquor store, that's okay. You know, Baptists won't talk to you in the liquor store. But do you see what I'm saying, though? They're not built on a foundation. You and I know not to be caught in the liquor store. Hello? We know that God had to send a prophet because of all this stuff that's going on in the world, that the Baptist says they're right and the Methodist says they're right, and the Pentecostal said it's shouting and speaking in tongues, and if you don't, you ain't got it. That's wrong. But they build their faith on that. But it's a false faith. It's false. There's no foundation. Sure, they had it at one time, but when God got ready to build a building, guess what happened? They said, nope, this is it. We like it right here. The Baptist said, now, once saved, always saved. We like it right here. As long as St. Susie, you know, made a profession one time, 12 years later, she passes away, or 20 years later, she's a good member of the church. Well, she hadn't come to church in 20 years. But we know the truth. We have been taught, and you know what? It was every bit in here. It every bit was in this book. Brother Brown never changed this book. He made it to where we could read it with confidence. That we can open that book and know exactly what God said. Know exactly what justification is, sanctification is, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, having faith, going in a rapture, not going through the tribulation. Hello, somebody. That ought to make you happy. That we've sitting here, we've got the truth. Pilate, what is truth? This message of the hour? This is truth. And it's got to come through me and you. It's got to come through a group of people. That's why it's in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Where's he sounding now? He's sounding inside of me and you. That voice is the voice of God to this generation. In whom also you trusted what? After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the what? Purchased possession. Unto the praise of his glory. Then remember this morning we said God sent us a comforter, not a reviler, not someone with fear. Listen, you ought to come into this church and be the most comfortable people, listen to me, in the world. People go to venues now. Look what happened July the 4th in Illinois. In the middle of a parade. This guy just opens fire. He dresses up like a woman so you don't know who he is. Then he runs through the crowd and acts like somebody that's running away. And he's got an AK-47 and he, what, wounds 30, kills 6? At a parade. Well, I'm just going to say it. I can understand shooting in bars. Happens all the time. But I can't understand somebody in a 4th of July parade with kids there. And God bless that little child. Listen, I'm still a human being. But remember, they found this little child that for a couple of hours they kept watching this kid go back and forth and running through here and running here and looking over here. Both of his parents had been killed. Right at the outset, the first couple ones that were killed. So they're laying dead in the street and the little boy is continue going. They think it's fireworks, so he continues on through the crowd. Then all hell breaks loose, chaos. So the little boy's looking for his mom and daddy, and they're both laying in the bushes, passed away. What a cruel, cruel animal Satan is. Amen? I'm ready to conquer this place. Amen? I'm ready for something to come up. And it's got to come up inside of you. It can't come up in them. They're out there running around going, what? I don't know. Maybe he wasn't whipped when he was a kid. Maybe he was bullied when he was a kid. Like Mom was talking about, we were talking about the guy that shot all those kids in the class. He went to the very classroom that he had problems with when he was a little kid. Somebody had done something to him, and they've traced it back to that. And like I said this yesterday, I said, look, video games, you can let your kids play them if you want to. But that is, what is the inlet to your soul? Your eyes. And they're sitting there playing them video games with the AK-47s, and they're pow, 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 they're killing people, blood splattering everywhere. And you know what? They just hit reset and start over again. Well, in your mind, you can take a real AK-47, go, and just hit reset and start over again. See what the devil's doing. But we've been sent a comforter, thank God. Even in this vile world that we live in, we've been sent a comforter. Look, read your Bible. Which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. We were talking about the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry and last night, and that's all we got to work off of. Jesus preached 3.5 years. We've been preaching for over 2,000 years on a 3.5 year ministry. How eternal is that? That we preach billions of sermons since AD 30. Off of just 3.5 years of one man, God Almighty in human flesh, the Son of Man. Well, guess what? We're under that same ministry now. A good short, quick work is what God's going to do in this place. All right? But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth. We know that word is called dunamis, which is strength or power. And I like this one right here. Power for performing miracles and moral power. Moral power. If the whole world would get the Holy Ghost, we could do away with what? We could do away with the police department. Everybody baptized with, well, guess what? That's what we're going to live under. When we get in the new city, everybody's going to be born again. Everybody. No malice, no guile, no hate. Listen, we can't even fathom that. Because it so bombards us, we'll get up in the morning, I'll guarantee you, we'll read in the paper, or we'll look on the news, and something awful is going to happen this afternoon. So we're just used to that. It's just bombarding. But what about a day? What about a day? There's coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more cloud in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is what? Peace. Comforter. Peace forevermore. On that happy golden shore. And you know what? It's not a fairy tale story. Brother Branham made it so real. Till you ought to be able to see your city now. You ought to be able to see your part of that city. Streets of gold. You're not going to have to. I'm going there. You're not going to be where you got to hide something. The Bible says transparent gold. So you can't hide your liquor bottles and your dope and glory. Won't be none. Because it'll be transparent gold. You know, Brother John will walk by and Sister Alicia and they'll go, hey, Brother and Sister June, we're sitting inside, you know, we're reading the message book. Oh, they're going to do away with the message? And no, I don't think so. How y'all doing? Good, how y'all? Ain't no bathroom, so we don't got to worry about none of that. Y'all don't think like I do, but I think, man, but to me that wells up something inside that's what you've got already. We got to start letting that thing out. Start living what's inside of you. I don't care whether it's good or bad. If it's bad, at least you'll realize it's bad. And there's something you can do about it. But if you try to think it's good. We were talking last night. You remember when the prophet of God went to pray for that woman that had been a Sunday school teacher. And she was dying. Remember? And she said, go get my pastor. Or the pastor was there. And she said, you're a deceiver. Brother Bram said, her real soul. Her real self raised up and said, you deceiver, you've told me wrong. Remember what the old preacher was doing? Give her a hypo. Well, you know what a hypo is? Give her a needle. Give her a shot. Knock her out. Knock her out so she won't testify against me. Well, there's no way enough that's going to knock him out, her out to say, you're a deceiver. You deceived me all my life. I don't listen, you better hope you're not under a ministry like that. Because the Baptist is that way, the Methodist is that way, all denominations and some people in the message that think that they just call Brother Brown's name and God shows up. No, that ain't happening. Moral power and excellence of soul. Is it well with your soul? It's not going to be well with your spirit for a while. We're trying. We're getting there. We're going up the statue of a perfect man. But it better be. You better have it settled in your soul that you got what you, the goods. As Brother Tom Fallbush would say, you got the goods. I'm not going to get there. Hold on. He told us the evidence. Now, this is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is that we would have the teacher come and teach all truth, but that teacher was an inside teacher, not an outside teacher. Now, would the one that write the Bible tell you something different than what the Bible says? But that's what the denominations are building their churches on. You can cut your hair. You don't have to worry about not wearing pants. You can come to church when you want to. Some of y'all still believe that. But you know what? You ain't got to answer to me. You know what? You're going to answer to God. If you don't come to church every service, unless you got something to do, some of y'all must have a lot of stuff to do. I'm just telling you, folks. If you don't come to church, you're not a Christian. Period. I'll look every one of you in the face. If you don't come to the church, I don't have to be this one. If you don't come to church every time the doors are open, you are not born again. Boy, it makes you good and quiet. You should be. The prophet of God said, you can't wait for them doors to open to come to church. Now listen, I know I've had to work on Sunday. T's had to work different. But look, it ain't an ever Sunday thing. It ain't an ever Sunday excuse. You ought to know the difference. If you got to go somewhere and you got to do something, that's fine. But I've always told you, what are we doing? And I know one brother said, "Well, you're shining your light when you're out on the beach on Sunday, and you should be in church." I don't know what kind of light you're shining. Because if I was a sinner, this way I think, Brother John. I'm sorry, my oxygen got cut off when I was a kid. I don't know, something happened, but Mama dropped me on my head. But there was nothing there, so it didn't matter. But I'm a sinner, and I'm sitting on the beach. And Donnie comes walking up. Now, he's dressed fine. He ain't got no shorts on. But he comes and sits down beside me, and you start talking about your church. And about the Lord. You know what I'm going to say? Why aren't you there? Hello?
That's right. Exactly.
Listen, I'm not talking about vacations, but you know as well as I do, you can take vacations and still be in church somewhere.
That's right.
Dad, how many times have we went deer hunting in different places? We hunt churches to go to. We don't. Well, some of y'all hide from this one. So anyway, this is not my opinion. I'm trying to get us to go up that statue of perfect man, but if our foundation is not right, you can forget it. Like I said this morning, don't worry about the seals. Don't worry about Daniel 70 weeks. Don't worry about we're eating in the millennium. Don't worry about where we're going when there are 1,260 days are happening down here. Get born again. Come to church. Read your Bible. If you'll do that first, that teacher is promised to take you up that statue of perfect man. But you got to get the divine nature of God first. First, let's what? Brother Brown said what? Have faith and be born again. Not faith and know the opening of the seals. If this is hitting you right between the eyes, you need it. You'll never say you didn't tell me. Brother Dale's been screaming it for 45 years, and I told him last night, I said, you know what? Brother Brown preached so hard against denominations, right? He didn't destroy one of them. Not one said, oh, we'll just quit and go to the tabernacle. Not one. What? Brother Brown in 1965, he said, you Pentecostals, you get worse every year. He was going to Life Tabernacle where he could preach very open. He preached a lot of good sermons at Life Tabernacle because Jack Morris had preached what you want to preach. But he said, y'all get worse every year. So if a prophet bringing the word of God, bringing signs and wonders on the platform can't change you, I sure can't. God's going to have to change you. And you're going to decide by your confession or your possession in just a minute if we ever get to it. Look, those who were filled with the Holy Ghost heard the word, received it, and what? Live by it. Have I not told you anything outside the Word of God? I've not told you an opinion. What's in the Word of God? So you know what? You're not going to be judged by me. You're going to be judged by this. Amen? Ruth, can you sing Excuses again? Excuses. We were talking about something downstairs, and she started singing that song, Excuses. Excuses. That's all I know. She knows the rest of it for some reason. Those who did... keep you awake. Those who did not have the Spirit heard it only as carnal men. Put a wrong interpretation on it and went into sin. Didn't continue on as Christians. The prophet said, if you turn the message of the hour down, whatever message that was, you go off into sin. In every age is the age of the Holy Ghost for the true believer. I say in every age the evidence was the same. Those who had the Spirit, the teacher, heard the word, and that Spirit in them took the word and taught it or revealed it to them. And they were of that group that what? Heard the messenger. Oh, we love that God sent us a prophet. Right? We do. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. We love that God sent us a prophet. But are we doing what he said? And his message, and took it, and sometimes lived it. It's not what he said. And lived it. And what is the message of the hour? The Bible being revealed. Not your idea and my idea. Matthew 11 verse 12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. This is not going to be spoons, forks, and knives. It's swords. It's a battle. It's a battle to get up in the morning. It's a battle. It's a battle to go to work. And then much less coming to church. 2 Peter 1 verse 5 says, Simon Peter, servant apostle of Jesus Christ, what? To them, he's talking to a group of people. To them that have obtained like precious faith. What? Like them. Like Peter. Y'all believe Peter had the Holy Ghost? Yeah. Listen, it was written in the Bible that Peter got the Holy Ghost. Right? On the day of Pentecost. 120 in the upper room, so he's got it. So he's got this precious faith, and he's telling us that we have obtained that same like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And I kind of stopped right there because I want to interject this right here. But I say unto you that every idle word, this is where we was at this morning, that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof on the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I'm just reading you the Bible. Look, Romans 10 verse 9. That if thou shalt what? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. So there's two things. Believing and confession. That God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now that word confess in the Greek, I kind of condensed it a little bit and made it a little bigger so you can see what it says. Confess is what? Freedom, what'd you do today? You admitted guilt. Read it. You admitted yourself. I can't confess Susan's guilt. No way. I don't know what it is. But I sure know mine. Hello, somebody. I know mine. I know where my faults are. I know the thoughts I've had of all y'all. To admit, I'm just kidding. I love everybody. I love every one of you. I think we got the greatest group. We and Bob was talking about it. Luis is back there in the back. They go off to different places and they look and see. We think we got problems. Nah. We good. Right? We good. We're all right. Confess. Because you know what? It comes down to the Word of God. It's not your feelings or my feelings or whether I like Brother Dale or whether you like Brother Dale or whether you like me or don't like me. That doesn't matter. The Word of God is always true. It will always, what you go back to is go back to the Word of God. Don't go back to a feeling. Don't go back to an emotion. Go back to the Word of God and say, what does it say right here? What does it say right here? Because remember, God can't change his mind about his Word. If he loved you to begin with and knew you would love him when you got here, he never did not love you. It's an eternal thought of God. To admit or declare oneself guilt of what one is accused of. Freedom. You accused yourself because you know what you did. I'm just, you know, you don't mind. I use Frida because she won't fall over. Some of y'all be going. You knew who we were talking. Yeah, so do I. I know you pretty good. You know we were talking about being 14 years old. She was my girlfriend at 14 years old. 13 to 14. So anyway, so we've known each other a long time. But she, I know kind of how she thinks. That's kind of weird. But like today, I knew where she was coming from. She wanted to get something out that was what? There was. You ever get that old feeling they say stuck in your craw? What, your craw is your throat. You get something stuck in your craw, what? It won't come out. And you know what it's going to do? It'll choke you. It's going to choke your Christian life if you don't get rid of some of the stuff that you're doing. Me included. That's what we're doing. Confess. Like I said before, I said something about a brother. And that stuck in my craw. Listen, if a prophet of God, come on somebody. You know where I'm going, most of you do. If a prophet of God going to lay hands, now this is Brother Branham now. Oh, that's Reverend Brother William Branham, the prophet of the end times. Everybody with me? Amen. Seventh Church Age Messenger, teaching us perfection. He goes to lay hands on a baby. And God said, stop right there. I mean, he's like, and God said, don't put your dirty hands on that child. And Brother Branham, instantly in his mind, he knew what he'd done. It was in there. Like I said, Frida didn't know what I'd done. I didn't know what she'd done, but it was in her mind what she did. It was in Brother Branham's mind that what he'd done is he told a little white lie. Oh, come on, somebody. He told a little white lie, and it wasn't really a lie. He wasn't in the house. He stepped outside of the house. But he was there. And he had to go back. What did he do? He said, hold on a minute. Now, what about a prophet coming into a home? And you're trusting that he's going to pray for your baby and it's going to get well. Because he's the prophet. He knows everything. And he gets ready to do this. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't probably a booming voice. God spoke to him in his heart and said, don't put your dirty hands on that baby. So Brother Brown had to look at that mother and father and say, hey, hold on a minute. I got to go make something right. Now, what he had to do, he didn't go outside and call on the cell phone. There wasn't any back then. He had to get in his car and find that IRS agent. And apologize for lying. Well, now, what did he do? He confessed. But when he confessed, that put him in a state of profession to where, or possession where he could come back. And he said as soon as he laid his hands on the baby got better. Now that's how God works, folks. I'm telling you. That's why somebody quoted it the other day that one unconfessed sin in this congregation, one, can make us bitterly fail. It can stop the program of God. One thing. Do we walk through that door and say, God, whatever it is, number one, bring it to my attention. And number two, give me time to get it right. Because see, we're fixing to take communion. And the Bible says in the communion that if you have aught, in other words, if there's something going on in your life and you partake of communion and you take of it wrong, many are sick and weakly among you and many are dead. May I quote the scripture? Many are asleep. Because we put so much on taking communion, but if you take it wrong, it's killing you. Me and everybody. But see, this is the time of cleaning up, getting everything out of here. That's why I talked to a brother one time, and he said, well, we only take communion when we're ready. I said, well, we would never take it. This makes us get ready. We know we're going to take it on the first of every month, or the first Sunday, and the second one if we have visitors, like we are today. But it's that time where it just kind of rechecks us, makes us confess, makes us get right with God, makes us try to do the right thing. Come on, people. This ain't fooling around. I knew, listen, when I was coming to this church as a young boy, I knew not to take that communion because I wasn't a Christian. Even though I may wanted to, and my friend did, and this one over here did, I didn't take it. Because I knew if I did, I was eating and drinking damnation to myself. Now, folks, if we let Satan run around in our heads so much, we'd never take it. But when you confess, felt good today, didn't it, friend? Felt good to get that out. I felt good when I called that brother and said, look, brother, I've said some bad things about you, and I want to apologize. He said, oh, brother, don't worry, you're forgiven already. But you know what? That was for me. It didn't matter. I knew he would forgive me. But that was for me to get that load off. And then you know what? I can move on with God. I want to move on with God. That's that pull I was talking about this morning. You were talking about third pull? That's the pull. The pull is pulling us up that statue of perfect man. Not a third pull when Brother Brown's got to come back and shoot a bear. And like Chris was talking about, you know, put up a tent. Good grief. Come on, we ought to be way beyond that. Brother Bram said, rapture and faith lies in the books and tapes. I'll take what he said over your opinion any day of the week. All right? Is anything sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Watch this. And the Lord shall what? Raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Do you know if you come here and you pray, get prayed for, anointed with oil in the name of the Lord, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they'll be forgiven him. Amen. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth a little. It said much. Now let's look at this word possess. The word possess means to acquire, to get. Procure a thing for what? Oneself. It's my possession. Well, June is my possession. I married her. I took her as my possession. Amen? That's what it says. To marry a wife. And that's what God's done. He's took a bride. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 4 said that every one of you, watch, every one of you, I like what Paul said, every one of you, not certain parts of you, every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now I want you to hold that scripture because we're going to use it 3,000 or 4,000 more times. That is telling you about going up the statue of a perfect man. That's not sanctification that the unclean spirit goes out and at baby form sanctification. This is a daily sanctification. You should know how to possess. What? Knowledge. Not knowledge that you can do algebra. No, knowledge that what God said is right. Possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Manifestation of the Spirit, 1951. Now you come to the altar realizing you're a sinner and you're sorry for your sins. You repent of what you've done. If you can stay there and cry for a week in and out, and you can stay there and cry for a week in and out, and it would never save you until you believe in your heart that you are saved. Is that right? Then you confess it. Now he can't do nothing for you until you confess it. Is that right? For he is the high priest of what? Your confession. He can do nothing. You confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. Is that right? What you say I've done down here for you, that's what I say to the Father. In other words, he's saying, Father, they did this down here. I'm standing for them. I'm standing for them now. They stood for me down here. That's what he's saying. You get that, young man? He's talking to somebody. The high priest of your confession. Now, here is he sitting here. Well, look. To make intercession on my confession, and I have a right to confess that he's done anything for me that's in the redemptive blessing. There you are. What was the redemptive blessing? He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Is that right? That's every believer's possession. That's mine. That's mine. The 70th week of Daniel. We were talking about this last night, but not this quote, but we were talking about the 70th week of Daniel. There is such a thing as the 70th week of Daniel, not half week. All right. I said, all I'll imagine when it sifted down, that doesn't even do it justice. Brother Branham, before this, I cut it short. Brother Branham, there was somebody came to him and said, Brother Branham said, the way you're talking, there's not anybody going to make it. All right. When you get the real pure in heart, born again of the Spirit. Remember, this was the only church age that Christ was put out of his own church of all of them. We got a great confession, but do we have a possession is what we're talking about. Is Christ really in the church? It'll be very much in the minority. So do I, brother. See it more and more. And but just a few going to make it. Fear not, little flock. But you know what? I'm one of them. You guys say you're one of them. I confess. I'm one of them. Sarah just went. That's good. That to me, that says a million words. She went, right here. Thank you, Sarah. That was perfect. I was watching somebody the other day, and they'd just done a funeral, and Brother Joel Brown's mother, I think, passed away. And they said right before she died, said she raised up in the bed and said, wow. Wow. That's enough for me. Because some of them will probably sit up in the bed and go, oh, no. No, 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 no. But they said she looked up in the sky and said, wow. She was entering into another dimension. And it was so happy. All because she could say was, wow. That's a sermon in itself. Stand up and just say, wow. Wow. When something's unfolded to you. Wow. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. Let's get back on our point here. And our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power, I love that word divine, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Thank God he's heaping upon us. That by these ye might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, look, add to your faith. Add to your faith. Not God's faith. Oh, brother, wait, I'm reading the Bible. It says add to your faith. I love what Brother Ram said one day. He said, you know what? He said, this is my eye because God give it to me. So this is my Holy Ghost because you know what? God give it to me. So this is what? You're going to see your faith in action. And we're going to talk about just for a minute, renewing of the mind. Now faith, I thought, well, I'm going to look up a good definition for faith. Why in the world would I want to look up a good definition for faith when it's right here in front of our face? Why would I want to know what Daniel Webster said about faith? The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's a good enough definition for me. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, we go and we take and create a car. We create a car because we what? We get metal, plastic, rubber, gears, that's already here, and we make it with it. God took it from nothing. And made. He knows every star by name. He knows the day he created it. And it's been billions and billions of years ago. He knows exactly where to put them. He knew exactly where to put the moon. Amen? You know that moon's the top of me and you. Do you know what happened in the fall? Not in the fall, but during the flood? Remember the world was standing straight up. Now it's what? 20 degrees or 18 degrees or ever how many degrees? It wobbles. That's why we got our spring, summer, fall, and winter. Little history lesson here, or a science lesson here. But what kept that thing from tilting on over? What kept that world from going into chaos? God had already put a moon right there. And when that moon went around the earth, it pulls it this way. Oh, praise God. When it goes over here, it pulls it out of its chaos this way. And it keeps it in orbit. All the water in the ocean move about 20 feet one way. And then when she goes around the backside, goes back this way. What is a moon atop of? The bride. Without us on this earth would fall apart. It would tilt so far over to one side, it would destroy this place. But thank God, He put a moon. And the Bible tells us in the end time that the moon is going to be as bright as the sun. Seven times. Through seven church ages, He's put a bride here to keep this world standing straight up. If not, this world's going to look. When this thing is over, and there's no bride on the earth, we were talking about last night, total chaos, no new birth, no Holy Ghost, no blood, nothing. It's the wrath of God poured out on the world. Don't be here. Whatever you got to do, don't be here. Young people, nothing in this world is worth staying here for. Nothing. By faith, Abel offered unto God. It just thrills my soul when you can see what God did for me and you. He obtained a witness. He was righteous. God testifying of His gift. And by He being dead, yet speaketh. Remember, the Bible talks about His blood speaking, Abel's blood. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. For what? Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So that's what I said before. It does, like Brother Brown said, you can read books right here. You can read books. You can fast. You can pray. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, we want to speak today on faith, number five. A different kind of faith. There's different kinds. Remember, we kind of hit on that the other Sunday. And we'll talk about it in just a little bit. Now, faith, we're told in the Bible, faith cometh by hearing. Now, you cannot be saved without faith. And faith is something that you have to believe it's there. That really nothing else will declare it's there but faith. Everybody reading that? What an explanation by a seventh grade Kentucky kid. Scholars are going, what? What are you talking about? Now, I'm trying to bring faith to you so you can be ready for this prayer line in the next few minutes. Now, faith, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. What? That he is God. And it's impossible to please God without faith. You cannot please Him. And if you say you believe God, you have never seen Him. See? So then you've got to go to faith, go to believe it by faith, and if you could see Him, it wouldn't be faith no more. If Jesus was standing right here, you wouldn't have to have faith that Jesus was standing right here. Amen? That's why the Bible talks about the end of our faith. There will be an end of our faith. When we get into the future home, we will not need faith anymore. Why will we need faith? All-knowing, all-seeing. I'm not talking about God, I'm talking about you. Travel like a thought. We won't have to have faith. But you know what? It's the faith foundation that we built down here. Down here is where you're building your building, not up there. I'm spitting all over the place. Why cry speak? Look, Moses, go down there. I'll be with you. It anointed the faith that was in him. And it anoints us when we see that we're living in the last days. I like what Brother Chris was talking about. You know, Brother Brown preached, modern events made clear by prophecy. But we see prophecy made clear by the events that are here. Amen? Find out, because Brother Brown was prophesying, folks. We're not seeing it. We're in it. That's what I was telling those Jamaicans years ago. We were talking about the vision that Brother Brown had of the Jamaicans running up the mountain. And taking the gospel into Jamaica. Well, that's wonderful. But until that happens, it's just a dream. But once they stepped into that dream and the people literally started going and taking the message through Jamaica, they were fulfilling that prophecy and the vision that was seen. So I adjure you to step in the vision. Step in the vision of the word of God that the prophet of God brought in the end time, that we can take a body change. Anoints us when we see we're living in the last days to find out all these signs that we see being taken place. Now, this is 1963. That's 60 years ago. Is that right? Yeah, 60 years ago. We're almost in 2023. 60 years ago. To find that these signs that we see taking place that spoke of in the scripture would take place in the last days, all the way from heaven to the political powers or nature of the people, the demoralization of the world among the women and how they would do in the last days and how the men would do. Well, tell me about it. And how the churches would do. He didn't leave the churches out. And how the nations would do and how God would do. And we see it all laying right here on us. Oh, it anoints our faith. It moves us out in the great cycle. That's what I'm talking about, folks. Put your faith in this message. There's none other. There's none other than this message of the hour. Nothing will take you to a body change. Nothing will take you up the statue of perfect man except this message of the hour. It moves us out into great cycles. It separates us from other things of the world. No matter how little we are or how much a minority we are, how much we're laughed at, made fun of, don't make a bit of difference. That's all. We see it. There's something within us. We were predestinated to see this hour. Here God has spoken. It's already happened. We see it. And how we thank God for this. Oh, then it brings out your faith when you see these things happening here. Listen, to the world, it's chaos. To us, it's prophecy. We know what's going to happen. Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Because everything you do right now is contrary. If you didn't have the new birth, you wouldn't want to be at church. You'd want to be somewhere else. Right? Your sisters should put on a pair of pants. Because that's the world. That's your old thinking. Why do these people leave the message? Most of them that leave the message, they go right back out in the world. It's like they do away with the Bible while they're doing away with Brother Branham. The Bible's still true. Yes, sir. I don't care who it's spoken through, a dumb donkey. But you can't go back and start cutting your hair and wearing pants, sisters, if you turn this message down. The Bible still tells you not to do it. Good grief. But their mind has not been renewed. Their mind is taking them back, like some of y'all are falling off into sleep now and your mind's taking you to nowhere. To land a nod. Wake up! This is more important than your eyes being closed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may what? Prove. We're going to prove that God's right. We're going to prove that William Branham was the prophet of the end time. You and I are going to prove it. He's gone. He can't say anything. You and I are the voice that's going to keep this thing going. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I like good positive words. I don't like negative words. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. What is that measure? Look, a renewal. That's talking about your mind. A renewal, a renovation. That rain? Man, we've been getting some rain. Well, I think we're going to start praying to stop now. We prayed for it to come last week, and it's here. Thank God. We'll take it. My little garden, Terrence's cows, bless their heart, they're down, probably eating dirt. Because the grass don't grow if it doesn't get rain. And listen, you don't grow if you don't get rain. Have you ever stood out? Well, I did the other day. I was working in the garden, and I thought, I need to get back in the shelter. And I'm like, let it rain. I was already soaked with sweat. I said, let it rain. I said, Lord, thank you. Just let it rain. And boy, it's a soothing. It just washed all the cares of the world. Y'all ought to get a garden. Garden of Eden. Hello, somebody. It was a garden. Wake some of you up. But a complete change for the worse. Oh, it says a complete change for the better. That's what renew means. Renovate. Complete change for the better. You know what? I did some renovations. Brother Gary Krantz did some for us. I didn't do a lot on the inside, but I should have. But we had a dumpster. And he filled it up, and so did we. But you know what I thought? I said, you know what, God, that's exactly the way we should be. God, pull your dumpster in my yard and let me dump all my trash in it. Well, this is your dumpster. I've never heard anybody call a church a dumpster. Well, guess what? This is where you ought to what? Cast your cares. Dump your trash. Frida dumped her trash today. Right here in this building. You know what? That filter will not let it go out that door. The Holy Ghost will not let that go out because Brother Collie read about not returning void. Right? But it will accomplish what it said. But I want to ask you a question. Do you believe it will? You know, Sister Frida would have never walked up here if she hadn't believed it had done her any good. Hello, somebody. That was faith. We with you, sister. We desperate with her. Hey, who's not desperate with her? We're all desperate with her. This is a life. This is life. And she's part of us. But we got a measure of faith. All right, so let's get to that just for a second. An instrument for measuring, a vessel for receiving and determining the quantity of things. Like I said before, how many quarts is it from here to Lula? Now, wait a minute. A quart's a measurement. Right? How many quarts is it from here to Alto? 2 quarts? 3 quarts? It's a measurement. But it's not right. But now if I say how many miles is it, we go, ah, that's right. But if we want to bake a cake, how many miles of chocolate do we need to use? To June, not enough. We went on a cruise to Alaska one time, and the only reason, I don't think, it didn't matter what the boat looked like. She said, they've got a chocolate bar. And it's 24/7. I mean, she's embarrassing me. But we don't measure miles by chocolate. So we don't measure, we have a measure of faith that Luther had a measure of faith. But you know what? That measure of faith is not ours. Luther's measure of faith was the just shall live by faith. He could smoke a pipe, drink a beer, and be, he's a German, so he could do that, all right? And God said, all right, live by the just shall live by faith. I'm going to anoint that, and that's yours, all right? But now, me and you are over here in the age of full restoration, not reformation. We're in restoration. So this faith is not done away with. It's just brought over and what? Enhanced or made more. A graduated staff for measuring. What is measuring to do? It measures how big or how long or how high. The height, the depth, the length, and the breadth. You can't count it when you talk about God's love. But you have a measure of faith. Brother Brown said, statue of perfect man. He says, have faith and be born again. That's laying the foundation. Jude 1 verse 3. Beloved, now we're going to talk about a measure of faith here. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you. Now, he's writing unto people, Christians, and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. So somewhere it got lost. Somewhere it got lost. So there's a lost faith. That's why we had to have the prophet of God to bring that faith of the fathers, take us back to that faith of the fathers so that we can build this pyramid in the end time. Amen? Contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. It got lost down through the church ages like I read to you before. Man's ideas got involved. Denominations got involved. Divisions got involved. God never intended for that. For there are certain men. Well, that's a problem. I'm not going to read this quote, but I'm going to paraphrase it for you. Brother Brown, you know, he always said his worst enemies were preachers. And that's what he was telling them. He said, I sit around with a bunch of preachers. You know what he said? Let me tell you what Brother Brown said. If I can find it, I'd read it real quick. But Brother Brown said, I'd rather be sitting at a table with witch doctors than to be sitting with the preachers I was sitting with the other day. Put in witch doctors, and you'll see. That's exactly what he said. I'd rather be sitting with a table with witch doctors than to sit with preachers that I sat with the other day. Whew. Well, that made you quiet. Good. You ought to think about that. That's how bad that spirit is if it's not right. It's an evil witch doctor spirit if it's not truth. But we must earnestly contend for the faith, which is one delivered to the saints. Guess what? That's what Brother Branham brought us back to. He brought us back to that faith. Now, what are you going to do about it? For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So there was a lost faith. Then we talked a couple of Sundays ago about faith for the time that's needed. The little woman that had the blood issue. She had faith for the time, the prophet of God said. Remember, she had a blood issue, her female trouble, that she couldn't stop bleeding. But look, you say, well, that's pretty bad. But you know what? She couldn't do nothing. She couldn't go into her husband because she was on her period. Come on, people. She couldn't go in the congregation for 12 years. She was in bad shape. Everywhere she sat down was unclean, according to the Old Testament. Read your Bible. She was unclean everywhere she went. She was tired of it. How many of us are tired of being unclean? That's our problem. We carry too much of this junk with us. Well, I'm going to preach a little bit today, if that's okay. Your genuine faith will do it right there. Your genuine faith will make it so real to you. Look at that little woman with the blood issue. She said, if I can only touch the border of his garment, I'll be made well. And as soon as she did it, she said she felt within herself that her blood issue had stopped. She actually believed it. She actually jumped up and down. No, she believed it. When she touched it, to prove that it stopped, Jesus turned and said, who touched me? That's perfect faith. And that same perfect faith tonight, he brought it up 2,000 years. That perfect faith tonight will touch Jesus Christ just as it did then. That woman came with a perfect faith for that time. Notice now another, talking about perfect faith, 1963. We'll close here in just a second. Perfect faith is a master of all circumstances. Perfect faith masters all circumstances. No matter what it is, it masters it. When you believe anything, do anything, and you got faith in what you're doing, no matter what the circumstance is, that don't have one thing to do with it. See, it masters that circumstance. If it's in a room of sickness and the Lord reveals that this certain thing's going to happen, you just speak it and go on. Oh, don't ask any questions. Don't ask any questions. It masters all circumstances. Paul one day was on a boat. We'll close right here. Paul was on a boat. God told him he had to go to Rome. Remember? He said, I got to go to Rome. You remember they tried to stop him? But he said, I must go to Rome. God wants me to go to Rome. All right? God said so. Keep that in your heart. So here's Paul. He gets on a boat. He gets on a boat. And they go down through there to Cyprus or wherever it is. And the seas are just all over the place. Remember the story? Seas are all over the place. They start dumping cargo. So if they start dumping cargo, there ain't a lot of food left. There ain't a lot of good water left. When they start dumping cargo to lighten the load to get the boat up above the waves. Everybody with me? Paul's on the boat with 140, I believe, people, or 120-something people. You're reading your Bible. You read the specifics. I'm just going to tell you the story. All right? So they lightened the load, and it still, the Bible says, was contrary. The wind was contrary. In other words, it was not blowing them to land. It was blowing them out. So they're getting together, and they said, look, we're going to let down the boats, and we're going to get off this ship. As many as we can get off the ship. Paul said, stop. Amen. Come on, somebody. Faith masters all circumstances. Paul jumped up and said, stop. There was an angel came to me last night and said, if you'll stay on this boat. Now, how contrary is that to your carnal mind? Get off the boat. It's sinking. They were sailors. They knew the water. They knew the waves. They knew how much that... Luke, you're getting so big. Good grief. What a young man. Good looking kid. But they said, this boat's not going to make it. Paul said, if you'll stay on this boat. Now, God told me the boat was going to be destroyed. But he said, if you'll stay on this boat, every life, not one life will be lost. Amen. So they must have believed Paul. Faith masters all circumstances. Now, that's not the end of the story, because remember, the boat breaks apart. And they're actually, we watched, there was a movie about that one time, and they're on the, you know, they're hanging on pieces of the ship, and they're finally making it to shore. Well, there's a group of natives there. So when Paul comes up, he must be a pretty personable guy, because they look at Paul and say, well, he must be a demon. Read the Bible. He must be a demon, because he must have done something wrong. He must have been a murderer. He must have been a killer, because the gods, they believe in gods. The gods have broken up their ship. And if I was Paul, I'd be going, but nobody's dead. I said nobody would die. The angel told me nobody would die. Just like the angel that came to Brother Ram and stood beside him in the cave and said, get the people to believe who you are. Get to believe you, and even cancer won't stand in your way. Amen? Amen. Paul had an angel. Brother Branham had an angel. You got one. It's just hard to communicate with him. Amen? So anyway, so Paul, they're saying, well, man, this guy must have really messed up. He's the head of this gang, and they're all, their boat's destroyed. They're stuck on this island. There's no way for them to get off. The gods must be really against them. Must be a murderer, I think the Bible says. So Paul goes to gathering wood to build a fire. It must have been pretty cold. So he starts gathering wood, and they're all watching him because he's a murderer. He's got a devil on him. All right? Is everybody with me? And this black mamba. The Bible didn't say it bit him. It said it latched on his hand. Now, to be bit and fall off is not so bad, but even with a bee or anything, if something latches onto you, they're just shooting poison just as fast as they can shoot in your body. Because they're going through those hypodermic needles that are called teeth, fangs. Said it latched onto Paul's hand. Bible said Paul shook it off and kept getting wood. Amen. And what did the natives say? They turned their whole perspective around and said, he must be a god. So he went from being a devil to being a god. But you know what? His faith. When that poison that would have killed him in a couple of minutes went up his arm, faith mastered that circumstance and changed it into nothing but maybe water. It probably changed it into blood, but it mastered his circumstance because he knew he had to go to Rome. He couldn't die on that island. When you and I realize we can't die unless God's finished with us. There's no way. Look at Daniel. Amen. Daniel in the lion's den. Listen, they didn't put him down there with a bunch of kittens. And to be truthful, they probably didn't feed those lions for about 2 or 3 days, so they were real hungry. And you know what? They had eaten human flesh before. Amen? So they're letting Daniel down, and they're going, that one's mine. No, that one's mine. No, there's enough for both of us. We'll just tear him apart and eat him up. When that saint's foot hit the ground, the Bible told Daniel, though, he was going to come out of captivity. Come on, people. He took a promise of God. He said, 2 more years, I'm leaving this place. Right? Amen. 2 more years. Amen. I've been in captivity 68 years. I got 2 more years, and God promised me. God said so. That I'm going to get out of here. These lions have nothing. Nothing to bring. So the faith that went with Daniel, when his feet hit the ground, they were going. And knowing Daniel, he probably sat down right beside of him. And he just. If I was in there, I'd say, look, you can have the next guy, but you're not getting me. Faith in the Old Testament mastered the lions and shut their mouth. Shut them up. How many lions do you want shut up in your life? Listen, we're in a lion's den every day when we walk out in that world. There's something or somebody wanting to eat us up all the time. But when faith masters that circumstance, see, it masters all circumstances. You know why? Because God said so. God gave Paul a promise. Listen, God gave David a promise. You know what David did? David walked out. He didn't worry about, he didn't go, kind of like Joshua. Joshua goes up to the city of walls of Jericho, and Joshua being a warrior, he probably said, all right, that thing's going to, remember they could run chariot races across it. It had to be 70 or 80 feet thick, and probably 40 or 50 feet high, because people built their houses on the side of this thing. But now did Joshua go, now let me calculate, it's going to take 2,000 pounds of dynamite, and it's going to take us boring a hole right through here. God said, walk around the thing for 7 times. And on your 7th time, shout. Joshua didn't get caught up in measurements. He didn't get caught up in all the stones and the bricks and the rebar and all the different things. He looked past that. He looked at the promise of God. And faith met that circumstance. You know what? When they blew that trumpet, Brother John, disappeared in the ground. And they just walked right over. How many of you want to do that? We want faith to master our circumstances. David, you're going to die, son. No, I'm not. I had a prophet. I had a prophet prophesy over me, and he poured oil on my head. And he said I was going to be king of Israel. And even a giant, don't care how big he is, how many brothers he's got, until I sit on that throne, I can't die. Faith mastered that circumstance. Let's have faith. The challenges of life, the challenges of things that we do, every day, faith will master those circumstances if you'll let them do it. What about from here to here is only just a foot or two. And that poison, as soon as it goes in, boom. I mean, 3 minutes, I think, Black Mama, 3 minutes, you're dead. 3 minutes. Cut your oxygen off. Your lungs paralyzed. You've seen poison before, I guess. How it works in your body. But something took over that he didn't need to go to a pharmacy. He just said, I got to go to Rome. Because God said so. Let's stand to our feet. Because God said so. When we can realize that we're the bride of Jesus Christ in the end time, and God said, we'll not die. Somebody will come to perfection. Someone will come to the statue of a perfect man. Someone will destroy death that has been reigning for at least 6,000 years. Something that our mind cannot comprehend. But God said, I renew it. I'll put something in there that the world don't have. I'll put faith, the sixth sense, in you, and you'll be like Daniel. You'll be like Paul. You'll be like David. Like I said before, God does not deal in numbers. Never has, never will. He can take one guy, Moses, and destroy a nation as big as the United States. Listen, Russia's built up for years nuclear bombs and millions of soldiers. just to beat the United States. God sent one man, Moses, and he destroyed a nation the size of the United States. Our God is a wonderful God. Amen. If you have a need, just for a moment. If not, we're going to continue right into the communion and foot washing. God bless you. We love you. We love the Lord. Thank you all for coming. I hope that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Listen, have faith in the Word of God. Don't put your faith in your car, put your faith in politics, put your faith in God. Paul put his faith in God because God said so. God told him he's going to Rome. So he said, no, I can't die till I go to Rome. Well, you and I, we're the bride of Jesus Christ. Somebody's going to come to a body change. Somebody's going to wipe death off of their sleeve. Faith masters all circumstances. The prophet of God was never nervous when he had a prayer line. He was never nervous when he took those demons all in control. I'm sure the demons were just hopping back and forth in that other dimension. Didn't bother him. Because faith, he got met with an angel. And the angel gave him a commission. Said, there'll nothing stand before you. And he said, not even cancer. So, I mean, he took it all. Not even cancer if you get the people to believe you and have faith. So let's bow our heads just for a minute. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. Thank you for, Lord, your people. This is the pride of heaven. But we're on earth now. And Lord, I pray that you would be with each one of us, Lord. May we confess until we can possess. Confess our faults one to the other. And Lord, I want to be possessed. I want to be possessed by the Almighty. The world is possessed by demons and all, and the chief devil himself. But Father, many years ago, you cleared that out of my soul. And you put yourself in there. Lord, now I pray that that'll work itself out. And the people here, Lord, it'll work itself out in them too, Lord. That it'll work its way out like that little cocoon, little worm. There's a butterfly in there somewhere. It's just got to work its way out. Lord, just be with us and sanctify us, Lord, for this journey that we're on. Be with the ones that are sick. Lord, even if we've seen people healed taking communion. Lord, because it's what? It's something that you promised. You told us, we'll read it here in the scripture, that if we eat bad, it's going to give us bad stuff. But if we eat good, then we have good. Lord, just sanctify us and keep us. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Bible says, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the same night, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. In my blood, this do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. Wow. And many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Thank God. That's our promise. We'll not be condemned with the world. The world's going to be destroyed. You're not. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, and that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's just have a few moments of silent prayer. Prophet said, pray for your pastor. Pastor, pray for you. Ask forgiveness if you need forgiveness. Confess if you need to confess. But let's get this out of the way, because we want to be pure in God. I want to be able to take communion. Listen, when I wasn't a Christian, I was afraid of taking communion because I knew what it'd do to me. But now the Bible tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Take this communion. If you have aught against somebody, God knows if you're going to straighten it out or not. If you straighten it out, then go ahead and take communion. If you don't, then you're going to suffer the condemnation. Amen? So let's bow our heads. Lord, we ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we come to this day, Lord, that this bread, Lord, was made with holy hands, made with water and flour. Nothing added to it, Lord. And that's the way you were. There was nothing added to you, Father. Lord, I pray that you'd bless each one that partakes of this communion, Father, and sanctify us in Jesus' name. Amen. Every time I do this, I know probably Terrence is too young. We used to sit on the countertop up there, that house on top of the hill, and Mom and Daddy would bring out the bread. It'd be in the freezer in a box, a little old square wafer about like that. Wasn't Mom about that big? White as a sheet, but it was froze. It was held over. This is not going to be held over. You know what I'm going to do with this? What's over with this? When Brother Donnie gets all that up off the ground, I'm going to take it home, and I'm going to take a blowtorch, and I'm going to burn it to a crisp where nothing can eat it or even want to eat it. It stinks, actually. Gets all in your clothes, but you know what? We're doing that because we're not holding over. We're getting new revelation the next time. We're getting new revelation the next day. We're not going to live off of old bread. We're living off the living Word of God. So this will all be burnt to a crisp tonight before the daybreak comes. We'll take a torch and just blow this to pieces, and it'll be just a charred mess. But you know what? Right now, pretty good for you. Amen? So this is an institution that God told us to do. He told us to do this. So why are we going wrong? We're not going wrong by doing it. We're going wrong by not doing it. Amen? I just wanted to let you know that's what we do. I mean, we don't hold this over. We burn it. I burn it every night when we have communion. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this wine has been made by holy hands. And I pray now, Father, that it will be consumed, Lord. And we can, when we close our eyes, Lord, we can see you standing that night in front of the disciples and saying, eat this bread and drink this cup. Because it shows the Lord death till he comes. Well, Lord, we know you came, and I know some people are not taking communion because they said Jesus came in 1963, but that's not what the Bible said. The Bible says to take this until you come. And I believe in a physical coming here, not to the earth, but a coming and a bride, and then we meet you in the air. But until then, Lord, we're going to continue to take communion. We're going to continue to be washed by the water of the Word. Continue to take the bread and the cup, Lord, and drink it. And not drink it unworthily, Father. Just bless the people as they partake in Jesus' name. Amen. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross. There's a cross you got to bear. The midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised. All the world hates us. Satan really hates us. And I question, oh Father, how long? Then I take one more look at Mount Calvary. And what does it do? It renews my mind. It gives me the strength to go on. Come morning, I'll walk. Prophet of God said sometime between 6 and 9 in the morning when the rapture takes place, we're going home. We're going to go to a place with the greenest grass you ever seen in your life. The brightest day you ever seen in your life. No clouds in the sky. No sorrow, no heartaches. And I know we're doing it now. We're having heartaches and sorrow. But the Bible says those who endure to the end, endure. Endure sickness, endure heartache, endure troubles, trials. Your family turns against you. The world turns against you. Your neighbors Your coworkers can't understand you. You know why? Because your mind's not like theirs. It used to be. I hope they can see a difference now. If not, you need a renewing of your mind. Because out of the heart proceedeth all things. But it has to go through here and come out. You got to think it before you say it. Let's start thinking on these things. We were talking about last night, Brother Dale always said that for years. For those of y'all that weren't here in the early stages in the 90s and 2000s, he would always say, think on these things. Amen. And then Brother Luis picked it up and preached a sermon on it. Think. Well, think about what I said today. You're just going to say, well, that was a good sermon, and go home, and here's life. Build on it, please. I hope it didn't sweat for nothing. I usually try not to do that, but you just get happy when you start talking about faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. If you can see it, I can see this water bottle. I don't have faith that water bottle is there. But like Brother Branham said, it was so simple. He said, I may have left my pocket knife on the dresser in the motel room. He said, but I'm going to believe it's in my pocket. And he reached down his pocket and pulled it out. Now, whether it was there or not, I don't know. But he said he might have left it there. That's how simple faith is. Simply believing what? That God said so. Paul, how'd you survive that snake bite? God said so. God said I was going to Rome and I hadn't gotten to Rome yet. David, how'd you kill Goliath? God said so. He said I was going to be a king and I wasn't a king yet. So I'm going to believe what God said. I'm going to believe what my anointed prophet told me. Let's partake. Thank you, Lord. Supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and he went to God. He rises from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel. Wow. What about a servant? This man created the ground he knelt on, created the cloth that he used, created the water that he used, created the people that were standing in front of him, and he washed their feet. And it ain't like now. Jerusalem was pretty muddy and pretty nasty with all the stuff, you know. Brother Brown talks about that when he talks about washing Jesus' feet, you know, when the lady with her hair said there was donkeys and all kind of things walking. You're walking right over it and right through it. That's not now, but we still wash each other's feet. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and he was come from God and went to God. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus said, what I do thou knowest not now, but you will. When I come back as the comforter and I go inside of you, you're going to understand what I said. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Well, there's Peter. He's fixing to stick his foot in his mouth in just a second. Because Jesus answered and said, if I wash thee not, you don't have no part with me. Peter had enough sense to go, sorry, Lord. Don't just wash my feet, wash my hands and my head. Just give me a total washing. And Jesus said, no. He that washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywith, and you are not all clean. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, know you what I have done unto you? Now that's a question mark. He's asking them, do you not know what I have done unto you? If I then, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy. Smile with me. Happy. or you if you do them. If you wash feet begrudgingly, you need to go get born again. I love Brother Tom Ernest. You know, his wife was here last Wednesday night. Brother Tom, every time he washed my feet, he'd kneel down, he'd look at me, and he said, "Brother, it's an honor to wash your feet." And he meant it. He didn't just wash his feet because he had to. He didn't wash my feet because he had to. He washed it because he believed what the Scripture says, that you'll be happy if you do it. So today, if you want to get happy, go wash somebody's feet. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the word that we've heard, Lord. I pray that it sink deep in our heart. Lord, I pray that the faith that we have will master all circumstances. Everything that we go through, we need to turn back, look back, have faith in the word of God. Have faith in the prophet of God that sent us 1,100 sermons. He preached his heart out. He absolutely wore his body out. He absolutely took himself away from his family to have a regular, normal life, to travel around the world 7 times to gather a bride in the end time. I thank you for him, Lord, but I thank you more because you gave your life. You died for my sins so that William Branham could tell me about it. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the quality of life that you give us, and I pray that you give us that more under the word of God of the end time, not just material wealth, but wealth in the word of God. We pray, Lord, that you would take care of us now as we dismiss. Be with us and take care of us. Be with Brother Luis on Wednesday night as he comes and ministers to us. Be with Brother Bob as he's on his way back home, probably close to about now, that you'd be with him and touch him, Father. Bring us all back together in one, Lord. And with this coming up in a couple of weeks, we pray that you'd be with us, Lord, and sanctify us for this journey in Jesus' name. Amen. Sisters, you can go downstairs.